Welcome back to Eyes on the Future. I'm John Elhart. How do you eliminate negativity in the workplace? That's what we're talking about today with Nancy Roberts, President of Insights, Lynn Deser, President of Leadership Breakthrough, and Liz Warren, Vice President, Human Resources at Employer Services Corporation. Isn't this new music great? I mean, this is anything but negative, this music. It's fantastic. Eyes in the Future, sponsored by the Simon Graduate School of Business, McArdle Rammerman, Finger Lakes Community College, and Roberts Wesleyan College. Give us a call, 222-1180, 1-800-295-1180, and star 1180. Also, you can tweet us your questions at jalhart, J-A-L-H-A-R-T. Haven't gotten a tweet yet, but hope to before the end of the show. Liz, what is the 24-hour rule, and how does it help reduce negativity in the workplace?
Well, I love the 24-hour rule, and it actually helps you in both your personal life as well as your professional life. But what happens is when you have some conflict happening, or you really feel that you're getting angry, your emotions are definitely not in control, I suggest to take 24 hours to think about it before you address the particular person that you have concerns with. And how it helps reduce negativity is, you know, when you think about things 24 hours later, you're always going to be a little bit more cool. You've had time to think about it, and you'll probably have a much more productive conversation. And as I said, it works great in your personal life as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it reduces that shouting in the workplace and the potential of people really going at it. And then when that happens, it can go really downhill pretty quickly from there, right?
It can, and I think in today's world as well, with workplace violence being such a big issue, and you really have to think about that, and you don't really want to have a shouting match with someone because you know you can't really predict people's behavior. So if you're sitting down and having a calm discussion, you get a much better result.
Lynn, if you have a conflict with a coworker and you successfully invoke the 24-hour rule, because that can be hard, how do you let them know that you want to talk about it tomorrow?
Well, at the time of the conflict, and granted, emotions are rising, you know, minute by minute, it's a good idea to let the other person know just as calmly as you can. Say, you know, this is a difficult situation right now. I need some time to process it, but I'd like to sit down and have a conversation with you tomorrow. And if you don't say that to them and you go back to them, guess what? You've just ambushed them. Hmm. And, you know, they're caught off guard. They're surprised. And I can almost guarantee you, you're not going to have a very good conversation 24 hours later.
Well, and I think they would appreciate that you're giving them the heads up.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, there may be some things that they want to discuss, too. And it gives them time to process what they'd like to say to you.
Nancy, sometimes conflict can be a good thing, though, right?
Actually, conflict is essential in any relationship. You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but people are different. So if people aren't having conflict, I would say somebody's not communicating. Somebody's not speaking up. And there was a consulting organization that I think they did a training that was called Silence Kills. And they meant in organizations. I'd say that's pretty much true in any relationship if people aren't speaking up and airing their differences.
And this kind of ties in, before the show we were talking about this, the five dysfunctions of a team. And this
Correct.
Is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So there's a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by a man named Patrick Lencioni. And in that book, he shares a model in the back, and it's basically a pyramid. And it's the five dysfunctions that a team may have. And at the base of the pyramid, so where it starts, is absence of trust. And that means if there's not trust in the environment, people don't feel like they're able to speak up. So then the next level is fear of conflict. So if people don't feel like they can say what's on their mind, you're not going to have that healthy, constructive conflict. Without conflict, you get a lack of commitment, because if people can't speak their mind and they don't feel like their ideas have been heard, it's much less likely that they're going to be able to commit to what the team or the organization, et cetera, is agreeing on. If you have lack of commitment, the next level up is avoidance of accountability. It's almost impossible. It's like trying to pin a tail on a donkey to try and hold someone accountable when they haven't truly committed to something. And then, of course, at the top of the pyramid is inattention to results. If you can't hold people accountable because they haven't committed, trying to get results is, you know, is equally difficult.
Shows that it really can trigger a negative chain reaction.
Absolutely. So I think conflict is misunderstood. You know, I think we were raised to not want to have conflict. Everyone just wants everything to be peaceful. But when you realize how essential conflict is, then you find the right way to have it.
Well, coming up next, the vicious email, the loaded Monday morning inbox, which we talked a little bit about already, the busy bee bamboozle, and more when Eyes in the Future returns on 1180 WHAM.